Rob, I was actually kind of wondering if I was going to remember the pattern of the theme song.
I mostly just sit here and wait until you talk.
If it had been so long that I can't remember when the thing starts. Yeah. Well, welcome to the Common Good Podcast. After a like 2 week hiatus, 2.5 week hiatus, I think our last time was talking about the eclipse that was coming. So it was like Thursday, 2 weeks ago. Today's Friday, and it's Friday, like March or April 6th, I think, April 5th. And gonna do a little politics today. So Rob Ryerse's here on a Friday yeah. Politics.
Yep.
Hey,
we got politics to talk about.
I've been on vacation and then doing a little family time, and it's been a nice break from my brain from politics. Tell you the truth.
Yeah.
I really feel it. I mean, I feel like the 16th or 17th of March, kind of went away from all this stuff. Came back, and it's all the same.
That's right. I mean, there's a few things that have changed. Okay. Like the things that Donald Trump is selling now are different than they were before.
That's true.
It was NFTs and sneakers before, and now it's, you know, Bibles and junk stock.
Junk stock. That's good. Is that new material for you, or are you borrowing?
That's new material for me.
Pretty good right there.
Yeah. And but other than that, you know, the furniture's been rearranged in the room a little bit, but it's all basically the same.
I mean, dude, it's funny how waxed fruit and not fresh fruit politics feels sometimes. You know, you're just like, It has the lasting potential to keep going. Okay, let's talk a little bit about this Trump selling the Bible. That got me on CNN last week, by the way.
Yeah, it did.
So if people are in the news stream, in the YouTube stream, they may be like, oh, I don't know, a couple of tap ins
having a whole moment. I mean, you were on the Chris Hayes podcast, which he then spliced into his show.
Yes.
Then you were on CNN. And then apparently Chris Hayes mentioned you in his appearance on Pod Save America, the biggest, the second biggest political podcast in the country.
Yeah, they did. I subscribe to that podcast, Pod Save America, but I don't always listen to it.
Right.
But I was starting to receive messages from friends that during that interview, the interviewer, Dan, I think said, hey, you had this guy on your podcast, like from 2 weeks ago. That was a very nice honor. Yeah. For the work that we're doing and that we're up to. And it really was, confirmation, both the way Chris Hayes responded. So folks, if you haven't listened to the Chris Hayes podcast where I'm on talking about Vote Common Good and the work we do, it's worth it. If you're at all interested in this, I promise you, you're going to like that. That's going to be right in your wheelhouse. And it was just a great, great conversation. And then, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Rob, when we were down in Eagle Pass, Texas, for the trucker lie that went on for the for the scam, and went down to have a presence down there, a couple of guys were pointing their cameras at our bus at a gas station, and Dan and I just popped out and kicked into mode. You know, like, hey, what you guys doing? Pointing cameras at us? You know, we're here, ready to talk. And that turned out to be a YouTube channel called Channel 5 News that a friend had mentioned to me previously. And that video that they put out about the trucker brigade, I haven't looked in a week or so, but it had 2 million views, I think, something like 2 million views already.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So,
but you were on CNN talking about the Trump Bible.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And talking about the Trump Bible, because it really captured the national attention that Trump is out pitching a Bible. It has all the pieces to it, Rob, all the pieces right there. This huckster pitching a Bible, a Bible that had a hard time finding its way into the world, by the way. 2021, HarperCollins was hired by the producers of this Bible, which then was called, I think, USA Bible, or maybe just the Lee Greenwood Bible at the time, but it was Lee Greenwood inspired, you know, from God Bless the USA. May have been the Bless the USA Bible, something, I don't know, some nonsense like this, but all the same material and all the same stuff. So they wanted to use the new international version. And so they have to get that from HarperCollins. And so Zondervan, who manages that, was, and apparently Zondervan, a publisher of Bibles, does this a lot. Like, they get contracts from people and they produce a Bible that might be themed for students or themed for
The teen study Bible, the men's devotional Bible, the
your organization can actually have a Bible with your stuff in it. Like, that's that part's not all. So for all of us who are bothered by the fact that people are adding things into the material that comes in the Bible, just so we all know, that's a regular practice and money making.
Yes. Yeah. I used to work. I many moons ago worked at Family Christian Store.
Oh.
And in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and they ran a little special that if we the Archaeological Study Bible had come out, which was a big, thick Bible, it's NIV, and it had the New International Version, and it had all sorts of archaeological information, pictures, and you know, all sorts of stuff all strewn through the Bible. And we had a little the Family Christian Store sponsored a little contest where if a sales associate could sell 50 archaeological study Bibles, they would get a leather bound one with their name on it for free.
Do you own 100. A leather bound archaeological study Bible?
I do. And so does a friend of mine, because I sold 100 of them.
What? Yeah. Okay. Quick.
I'm a good salesman, Doug. I'm a good salesman.
Yeah, quick, for those who may not know, what does it take to get people who have wandered into a family Christian Bible store? What was it called? Family?
Yeah, Family Christian Store. I think they've gone out of business now.
Somebody who wanders into a Family Christian Store. So, you know, you're fishing in a barrel, clear.
Yeah. Yep.
But what's the thing that gets them to drop probably $69, $79, $89 for a Bible?
$79. Yeah, it was $79.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What is it that gets them over the hump that you figured out how to do 100 times over? What was your go-to trick? Because I'm just thinking, if Vote Common Good has to start selling Common Good Bible,
you just put me out on the street corner. It's been 20 years since I did this. I think it was just the, like, I really hyped the, this is a new thing that's never been done before. And kind of go in that.
Yeah.
Go in that route that, you know, you're going to have something that, you know, nobody else has.
Because frankly,
I remember there was a doctor who came into the store and he was looking to buy gifts for colleagues. And I sold him 8. Right. Archaeological
stuff. Got a little science-y vibe to it. Okay. That's
yeah. So anyways.
People are more interested in the extras in a Bible.
Yes.
It's like buying the DVD when they used to do this for films and it was the director's cut. You would spend the extra money and you would buy the film because you wanted the extras, right? That's how I've always thought about all this. All right. Yeah. So a lot of people are learning right now that Bibles are not always just what's called fair use. Mm-hmm. People own them and sell them, like companies, for-profit companies like HarperCollins Publishers owns a number of translations of the Bible. The King James Version, however, is public domain. Material. Public and that's domain. Probably because it's just generally worthless as a translation. I mean, it's just real.
It also could be that it's more than 400 years old.
Yeah, it could be that. And they just couldn't find the old King James family line well enough to keep that thing afoot. Yeah, so that is in public domain. So what then happened was, after HarperCollins said no to publishing that Bible because they became aware, it moved out of their like department that puts together packaging of Bibles, and a bunch of us. I remember me and Shane Claiborne specifically were deeply in touch with publishers there personally on the phone, like saying, "You please do not do this. Like, this is full of Christian nationalism." They weren't even really aware of it at that level in the organization. They put a kibosh to it, stopped it. It went away, then was repackaged under the King James translation. And then all the other stuff is added in. And that's the one that Trump is out pitching. So somehow that thing just fits the all the things we think about Trump and religion and voters and
It's got it all. It's got, I mean, it's got Trump involved, you know, hawking this thing. It's got the founding documents of the United States of America. Like that is, you know, like we talk about in our Christian nationalism training, that there's, you know, there's many Christian nationalists who believe that there's two countries in the history of the world that are uniquely born out of the mind and heart of God, and that would be Israel and the United States. And so if you believe that, you know, it totally makes sense that the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Pledge of Allegiance, all of that would be, not the Pledge of Allegiance, the founding document, but would be in the, you know, in this Bible as, you know, appendices. And then it's got the layer of just tacky. And that is like the lyrics to Lee Greenwood's,
yeah,
you know, from the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee. It's God bless the USA. It's just that tackiness of just like, just the cringe. You know, it moves beyond the, it moves beyond the scholarly or intellectual or reasonable to the, like, you know, the cheesy Jesus meme of, you know, Jesus hugging Trump. You know, it's just and that layer of Lee Greenwood is, it's like the wallpaper border in the, you know, in the living room of this thing. It's just ugh.
Yeah. Look, okay, so you gave your confession about selling Bibles. I'll give you my God bless the USA confession.
Oh, love it.
You ready?
You've been learning on the guitar?
So, oh my gosh, I totally. Okay, so not confession, but you did remind me of something. I had written two songs. I now have written a bunch, like a dozen. It's crazy. I'm in a real flow. But a couple weeks ago, we were on the bus, I was working on a song based on kind of the flow of a song called Alice's Restaurant from the 60s. And it's kind of this talking narrative thing. Yep. So I'm working on something about this around Christian nationalists in America and what do we do? And what do we do about the, with some line in there, like the election denying something, 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 but they're also Americans, right? And a little line in it has kind of ticks up at when I say God bless the USA, and I kind of sing it like the Lee Greenwood song.
Nice.
So I guess technically, yes, I am working on the Lee Greenwood God bless the USA, but it's in a song of satire. But somewhere, I think it was maybe 1983, 1984, 1985. I was a youth pastor. I was at a big church, and I was like an intern or an associate. So I got the duty of taking a group that was like a music performance group. It was called Acts 29, out on a tour, and we went to the East Coast, and they would do these like presentations at churches stuff, right? So at one point we are driving in a bus that I'm driving. I mean, the can't get out of a bus story, just, you know, stuck in a loop of life is, you should be kicking in for people. I'm driving this bus as a mid 20s year old youth pastor. It's the dawn of the day. Sun's coming up. We're out early, early, early. On the 4th of July, driving across the Niagara Bridge by the Niagara Falls.
No.
Okay. So somehow I had some kind of a radio playing thing that could play music. And somehow I had it. I can't remember the details how in 1990, mid-90s, I would have had this. And I was emotionally struck playing God Bless the USA, driving across that thing. All the pieces came together. It was, you know, singing at the top of my voice as a Minnesotan from the lakes of Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so, you know, I get it that song could be really meaningful to people.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of soldiers, in fact, this was one of the pushbacks about Trump selling the Lee Greenwood Bible. people who work in the military, chaplains and others, are like, look, these these military cats, they end up over there in places where they don't want to be, doing things that no one should have to do because the United States policy around war is inhumane on all involved. And they are belting this thing out with all they've got, you know.
Yeah.
So I get it. People think this is all really good. No. And the problems are more than just that, you know, as you brought up so articulately there, it's not just that Trump is selling a Bible. Like, who cares, right? It's that he's selling a Christian nationalist Bible. That's really yeah. shows the sign.
Yeah.
And trying to compete for that audience. So,
yeah. And also, it's not the only thing he's selling, because, you know, so in a, you know, Donald Trump is in a world of hurt financially because he's had these judgments against him. That are nearly $500 million.
Yeah.
And you know, he's had some of that reduced a bit, and there's been, you know, it's like he had $176 million bond that wasn't filed correctly, and I mean all that stuff that can,
is
you
that
know,
true?
Continues.
I honestly missed.
Yes,
this. They screwed
yeah,
up the
so
paperwork
they,
or somehow
they,
got it.
Yeah,
wrong.
So it, yeah, the amount he had to post was reduced from the full amount to $176 million.
Oh.
And then there's yes, and then he got somebody to, I don't know, to
okay.
The guy who put it up said that he, you know, the collateral was cash, which doesn't make any sense because if he has the cash, just do it yourself. You don't need the guy to post it for you.
Yeah.
Anyways, so yeah, the paperwork wasn't filed correctly. Shocker. And and so that is being corrected now, and I'm sure it will be. And, you know,
yeah.
Trump Tower isn't going to be for sale. I love the Spirit Halloween, you know, memes mm-hmm. as, you know, mm-hmm. as much as the next guy. But so anyway, so in the midst of all of this, Donald Trump needs to come up with a way to make some money. And frankly, this is a clever thing that they came up with,
yes.
was to take Truth Social, his Twitter ripoff right. social media platform, since he pitched to Elon Musk that Elon Musk should buy it from him. And Elon Musk said no. The second option, the backup option, is to take it public. And so I just read a little bit from Newsweek from an article earlier today, just to kind of give us a sense of where we're at with this. Donald Trump's net worth has fallen by just over $2 billion after the value of shares in his Trump Media and Technology Group, which owns his Truth Social website, dropped dramatically over the space of just 8 days. On March 22nd, this media group merged with Digital World Acquisition Company, an existing shell company, clearing the way for it to go public and causing its value to surge, making Trump billions of dollars virtually overnight. It's all on paper with this guy. However, the share shed much of this gain when it emerged that the company lost $58.2 million in 2023, while only bringing in revenue of $4.1 million. Raising questions about the, I mean, it's totally the kind of stuff.
$4.1 million is all the revenue they brought in on Truth Social.
Yeah. With operating expenses of, you know, $62.3 million, something along those lines. So basically it opened at well, the high of each, the value of each share reached a high of $71.90. And I believe it is now down in the $46.20 range. Wow.
Still higher than I would have thought.
Yeah. I mean, we aren't
pennies.
Yeah. We aren't down to levels. Yeah, that's right. We're not down to, like, you know, day trading penny stock, junk bond kind of stuff yet, but
wow,
give it time. Give it time.
That's right. That's right. Give it time. It's just going to be liquidated out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
now,
he's money hunting. I get it.
Yeah. Yes, he is. Yeah. Because and, you know, we've seen this over and over again. We saw with the NFTs and we laughed about those. We saw with the sneakers and we laughed about those. And then the stock and then the Bible. And, you know, it makes you wonder what he's going to sell next. Do you have any predictions on what Donald Trump sells next?
I was going to say his soul, but we all know he didn't have one. So he's dead out of luck there. No, I he's going to sell Mar-a-Lago probably.
Room by room.
Tower, or a kid. He might sell a child. we might just have to give Ivanka and Jared fully over to the Saudis for something.
Exactly.
So much with the guy.
Yeah. So his chances of becoming president of the United States again took a blow this week, took a hit, because what many have described as a Trump sympathetic organization, No Labels, has decided that they're not going to run a presidential candidate after all. No Labels is an organization that got founded by Joe Lieberman, former senator from Connecticut, who died last week. You didn't hear that?
No.
I've
been out of the flow.
Yeah. Yeah. Joe Lieberman passed away last week. I think he was 82. Joe Lieberman, who was Al Gore's vice presidential candidate, which, you know, in the midst of the hanging Chad ballot counting stuff, produced one of the great t-shirts of all time that said "Sore Loserman" and so in the Gore Lieberman font. Come on, that's fantastic. That's just good. Like, you might be on the other side of that, but that's clever.
That's clever. That's touche.
Yeah, so Joe Lieberman passed away, and then his project, No Labels, which really wanted to bring together some kind of unity ticket, and they had tried to get Larry Hogan to run for president. They had tried to get Joe Manchin to run for president. They had tried to get Chris Christie to run for president under their banner, and, you know, Liz Cheney and others have just consistently told them no. And so they have announced now that, you know, they've wasted a lot of time and a lot of money, and aren't going to have anything to show for it. So No Labels, is going away for the time being.
No labels.
Yeah.
No category even. Yeah. Well, that's, to my mind, good to hear. Good to hear. Just simplify this thing down. Doesn't mean that RFK Jr. is going away, though.
That's right. He's not going away. So
he's going to find some way to run.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's going to be, well, I'll tell you the way he found. So he named his vice president, his vice presidential nominee, a lawyer named Nicole Shanahan. I'll just give you a minute to, roll through your mental Rolodex of her resume. Her Wikipedia is just, she doesn't even need to have a Wikipedia because we all know so much about her.
Isn't she the election denying?
I don't think she's an election denier. Nicole Shanahan, best known for being married to one of the founders of Google, allegedly, rumored to have had an affair with Elon Musk.
Oh, that person.
She's the one who was responsible for and bankrolled the Super Bowl commercial touting RFK Jr.'s campaign for president that made his family so mad because it was patterned after a campaign ad from his uncle in the 1960s. She is the vice presidential candidate. Longtime Democrat who is kind of known for, kind of liberal causes, was a Biden supporter. Also apparently kind of flirts with the anti-vax thing, which, is right on brand for RFK Jr. But she's rich. She's rich.
Mm-hmm.
And what he needs is money.
Mm-hmm.
He needs money to finance what it takes to get on the ballot in all of these states. It's super complicated to be on the ballot in various states. There's 50 states, and there's, I used to joke when I was doing some work with a third party that was trying to get on the ballot. I was doing a project with them, and I used to joke that there's 50 states and there's like 72 different rules on like what it takes to get on the ballot. It is, like, it's complicated, and it requires money. Like you have to have a well-financed machine.
Right.
And Nicole
and everything. Yep.
And Nicole Shanahan coming onto the campaign, if she's on the ticket, there's no limit on what she can spend.
That's it.
If she was just a RFK Jr. supporter, there would be a limit of $6,600 that she could donate to him. Maybe it might even be $3,300 because there's no primary for an independent candidate. So, I mean, but there's limits. And then there's limits on what a super PAC can do that she could give to in an unlimited way, but there's limits on what they can do in terms of coordinating with the campaign. The best way to get the money into the campaign is to make her vice president.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, there you go. It's likely how they're going to do it. I did see a Daily Beast headline that says RFK Jr.'s campaign says that the email they sent referring to the January 6th rioters as, quote, activists was a, quote, error.
Yes. I saw something where that it said RFK Jr. disavows its own fundraising email.
It is an error to refer to the rioters as activists because they were rioters. But also, I guess they're saying, we didn't mean to say that, but some of the people who write our emails. Now, Rob, if you're on the Vote Common Good email list, you're going to get a couple of emails a week from us. And we hope they brighten your day. We hope that in the midst of the milieu of madness, that this little Vote Common Good shining star pops in your inbox and you say, oh, I wonder what we can give money to now to support the good people at Vote Common Good. I read those carefully to make sure they say what we want. If you want to be president, have somebody whose responsibility it is to read the emails and are saying what you mean. Or maybe that's what you did.
Yes.
And the way you do this is the way Trump said, I disavow the Proud Boys, stand back and stand by. Well, I didn't mean to say stand back. I was just using it's ways of messaging to two groups, two separate messages. So they can call them activists and then take it back. So when someone says, why'd you call them activists? They say that was a mistake. But to the activists, they say, you know, it wasn't a mistake. So that's what I think is going on here, which is good news. Good news, I think, for the outcome that I desire, which is that Robert Kennedy Jr. will be the off-ramp for people who would otherwise be voting for Trump.
And, you know, this comes on the heels of RFK Jr. Saying that on CNN that Joe Biden, President Joe Biden, is a greater threat to democracy than Donald Trump. You know, again, in his rationale, his reason for saying that is because some claim that the Biden administration influenced social media platforms to silence, throttle, mute, shadow ban, like all the different words that get used in this context. Their political opponents, including his supporters. So basically, you know, like there's a, listen, I'm sure that there are people in the Biden administration who are willing to use some underhanded tactics to, that they think will be helpful for their cause, which is, you know, defeating Donald Trump and reelecting Joe Biden. Is Joe Biden involved in that? There's zero chance the president of the United States, Joe Biden, is personally involved in that.
Right.
He might have.
RFK Jr. should know that because he's apparently not personally involved in sending the emails that his organization sends. So he would probably understand what goes on when you're at the social media messaging level.
Exactly. Donald Trump personally involved in organizing and encouraging an assault on the Capitol of the United States, personally involved in an effort to disenfranchise 84 million voters, personally involved in trying to get elected officials from fulfilling their oaths of office and doing what they needed to do to certify and kind of rubber stamp the results of a free and fair election. Personally involved in those anti-democratic, democracy undermining things. And for RFK Jr. to try to appeal to Trump supporters with this disingenuous thing of Joe Biden's a greater threat to democracy than Donald Trump is, I mean, just, it's ridiculous on its face and it's offensive.
Yeah.
It's like, this statement moves moves him beyond the like kind of amusing sideshow to like, no, this guy's a problem. Mm-hmm. I have gone from amused by RFK Jr. to super frustrated with him. Mm-hmm. And he's running a clown show of a campaign.
Right.
And as you can see from his vice presidential pick, who is someone no one's ever heard of, who is not, listen, I'm sure Nicole Shanahan is a wonderful, I'm sure I would enjoy having a conversation with her. She is not qualified to be vice right. president of the United States in the same way that I'm not qualified to be vice president of the United States. Mm-hmm. If RFK Jr. had called me and said, hey, you want to run for vice president? Probably would have thought about it, but I would have said no.
What kind of money do you think I have, RFK?
Yeah, exactly.
I
mean,
I just look rich. I'm not actually rich.
That's right. So that ridiculousness, the ridiculousness of this email that's sent out calling the January 6th insurrectionists as activists, and saying Joe Biden is, you know, a greater threat to democracy than Donald Trump, RFK Jr. is going to have to get more outlandish to keep himself in the news because of the clown show campaign that he's running.
I think that's really good news for the outcome I would like, which is to take 10,000, 15,000 Trump supporters across three states in the Midwest, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and to have them say, I'm not going to vote for Trump this time. I'm going to vote for RFK Jr. That would be great. 10, 15, 20,000 people who otherwise would have checked the Trump box. We'll check the RFK box. Great. Good for you.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a lot of room for him to message to the, I wish the Biden administration was acting differently or we had a different candidate crowd. I don't think there's so much attractive there. But I do worry that there's people who voted for Biden in 2020. I know some people personally who are now very intrigued with voting for RFK. And they would have previously been standard Republican voters, didn't want to vote for Trump ever, then voted for Biden in 2020, didn't vote for Hillary in 2016, voted for Biden in 2020, and now we're looking at RFK. So he could be, it could cost Biden some like that. So, you know, that's like, so you need some of these people to be, but it's not because they think Biden's a risk to, they're the people in the crowd of, we just need something different, you know?
Like, yes.
You know, again, not the thing they say when they're going in for an important surgery. They're kind of looking for standard practice training for a lot of these people. They're not looking for something new.
Hey, listen, I'd like you to just kind of experiment on me, you know, like, let's just see, you know? Yeah. When I went to the dentist this morning to get my, to get stitches removed from a tooth that I had removed, 3 weeks ago. I didn't want him. Yes, please just do the normal stuff. And I'm an early adopter on things.
That's right.
But like, you know, there's some things you just want to, the tried and true.
Keep it steady.
Now listen, don't let your heart be troubled, Doug. Oh. New polling out.
Okay.
Joe Biden has opened up a 10-point lead in Pennsylvania.
According
over
to
Donald Trump.
Polls?
I don't believe
them.
I know.
I am not an election result denier. I am a poll result denier. Yeah. I just got to tell you, these things.
Yeah. Now, what's interesting about this poll, and I'm looking to see who it's by.
I didn't. I was just saying it was just a poll. It doesn't matter to me. It could be.
I'm looking right now. I'm looking right now at my number one news source, which is the Drudge Report, and which reminds me, you should check out. There's a podcast out called Where Is Matt Drudge, which is really really good. Interesting.
Is he vacationing? Yeah, so, is that what it is? It's like a
he's travel, like super reclusive and hasn't been seen in years. So the latest poll, it's Franklin and Marshall College. What's interesting about this is that in this, in a head-to-head contest between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, Joe Biden has a 10-point lead, 48% to 38%, with an additional 13 favoring someone else, outside of the margin of error of 4%. However, when the someone else is named, when the two other options are presented with the respondents, Jill Stein is the Green Party candidate and RFK Jr. is the independent, the race moves within the margin of error with Biden at 42 and Trump at 40, Kennedy at 9 and Stein at 3. Wow. Which is super interesting. It appears as if, at least in this polling, Biden's trending in the right direction, which is great. And Stein and Kennedy are still a drag on Biden's support more
on
than
Biden
Trump.
Supports. Well, okay, that counters
that may change. I think the more that RFK says in an attempt to appeal to Trump supporters, the more he says things like Joe Biden is a greater threat to democracy than Donald Trump, and the more he calls January 6th insurrectionists activist, he's going to turn off that. I think he's going to turn off those supporters. I think it's seen all this to say polls are simply a snapshot of a moment that is often quite blurry at the time anyways.
Yeah, that's right.
But I like what I see here. This is in this moment, this looks good.
The problem with polling early on is you ask anyone, what will your future behavior be? And for some of us on certain topics, we're very consistent. For other people, they answer these polls aspirationally.
Mm-hmm.
Their answer fills a different purpose in their life than giving the pollster accurate information. We all do this on many issues. What are you going to buy when you go to the grocery store? Well, I make a list, and that's like what I would tell the pollster. I'm going to buy these things, you know. Then you get to the grocery store and you're like, there's a single sleeve of Oreos that I could buy, just one sleeve. I'm not buying a whole package. All of a sudden that's
an option.
Yeah. Yeah. That gets pretty interesting, you know. And then other times you look at something and you're like, I put it on here, but I'm just, you know what? I'm just not getting the high fiber cereal. I'm going for something else.
What polls are doing is
reinforcing a person's narrative of themselves just enough where they call this, you know, margin of error thing. And that's leaving out all the comments of people that like the squirrely prepper lifestyle says that, you know, there are many people who aren't represented in the chat. The squirrely prepper says this, that aren't represented. That's not even taking into account all of that, which is so true. This is just the people who actually say, I'm going to vote. Here's what I'm going to vote. There's just enough for whom saying the thing to the pollster doesn't match what they're going to do. We tend to call that lying to the pollsters, but people don't lie in our own views.
Yes.
We don't lie. We are not liars. We might say things that are not true, but they're not lies somehow, right? So that's not the story we tell. That's why I think polls for the movable or the still thinking about it or the non all that engaged. And then when the time comes, so in other words, then when you're standing in a voting booth, you feel the weight, or you're at home with the ballot and you feel the weight. Now you're in the store, you're at the cash register. What are you going to do? And that's the little gap that can be closed. That's why, in my view, that's why polls end up outside voting results end up outside the polling numbers.
Now, I mean, polling numbers are just are just numbers. I mean, there's other numbers that are really good news for Joe Biden, including the jobs numbers today that took everybody by surprise.
Incredible.
Apparently, the U.S. economy has added another 300,000 jobs over the last month and continues to blow away expectations.
Yep.
You know, one of the things that we've talked about in the past on this show is that consumer confidence, mm-hmm. which is, you know, how I feel about the economy. That's a lagging indicator. Yeah, like that's the caboose of the economic train. The reality has to change significantly and consistently long enough for me to go from feeling anxious about the economy to feeling mm-hmm. content to feeling optimistic. I got to make sure that like this thing isn't going to bottom out again. Mm-hmm. It takes a long time for consumer confidence to rebound. And so even as we get these strong reports, you know, that's good. That will only help consumer confidence. And consumer confidence is tied to, you know, how you feel. For better or for worse, people mm-hmm. tie how they feel about the president to how they yeah. feel about the economy. And you know, how they feel about the economy is not how they feel about the stock market. It's how they feel about their own bank account. And so as these good economic numbers continue to come in, the economy continues to rebound. I think what we're going to see is mm-hmm. consumer confidence coming back, which is only going to be good for Joe Biden. All of this trending in the right direction.
Yeah, I agree. I to the degree that people still are movable voters are still making their decision about who to vote for president based on some kind of situation in the world. To the degree that that's true, because I think there's a lot of consumer confidence numbers, especially, or what's going on globally, internationally, with the U.S., you know, around the wars going on in Afghanistan, the war that Israel is inflicting upon Gaza, all these kinds of things. I think that has more to do with reinforcing or undermining people's confidence in the choices that they've already made about who they're going to vote for than it does moving someone. But to the degree that it does, good jobs numbers and inflation coming down, felt inflation coming down, will be the kind of thing that some people can be like, look, let's not go back to COVID days. And if the Biden team doesn't wrap the Trump years with COVID in people's emotional responses, they're missing a real opportunity.
Yeah.
To remind them that from January through January of 2020, we had to live with Trump in charge of that nonsense. And and somehow, you know, Trump is like is pitched to his people. He's not responsible for anything that happened while he was president because he's the most powerful president in the history of time. Like, it's just simply remarkable.
Yes. Not responsible for anything, and also the most powerful and effective president ever. I've like the Biden campaign has put out an ad where, you know, kind of asking the classic question of, are you better off?
Yeah. Bless you.
Did I get the mute button fast enough there to catch my sneeze?
Well played.
So the Biden campaign has put out a commercial, you know, that classic question, are you better off than you were mm-hmm. 4 years ago? And they have just said yes. contrasted many things. The thing that they need to be careful about is not outpacing with their own exuberance about stuff, outpacing people's feelings and making them seem out of touch.
Yeah.
And that's the challenge that hopefully someone in the Biden administration, the Biden campaign is thinking about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. We hope that they are. We hope.
Yeah. I mean, two other crazy things that happened, Doug, while we were on this little hiatus and you were out of the loop, Trump's daughter-in-law became the co-chair of the Republican National Committee, which is just
Why
hilarious.
Not?
No,
Why not?
No comments needed. Marjorie Taylor Greene almost took down Speaker Mike Johnson.
She's still got the hammer just cocked and loaded right there, just ready to unleash.
Yep. She has filed the whatever it's called, where a speaker can, you know, call for a vacating of the speakerships. She's filed it, and she wants to, you know, be like Matt Gaetz and take down a speaker.
Well, look, on the what's good for the country route, the reason Marjorie Taylor Greene gives for filing, there's two steps to vacating a speaker in the current rules in the House. One is you have to file the intent, and then the other is you have to call for a vote. So she's only done one of those so far. She did it just before they went on recess. Then she can call for the vote at any point if she desires. So that's why I'm saying she's got the hammer over the head. And her rationale for doing this is she says that Speaker Mike Johnson has violated the essence of what the conservatives in the House want. If she is accurately reflecting her view based on the actions of Mike Johnson, that's good news for America. If Mike Johnson is behaving in ways that do not fulfill the expectations of the most conservative members of the House, that's good news.
Yeah.
Because it Which didn't have he to has. Go that I mean, didn't he, have to go that way. So
yeah, I mean there's been the government did not get shut down like right. Republicans wanted, and spending bills have been passed, and you know, Mike Johnson has, you know, kind of stared down the barrel of his own professed values and said, "Now I got to do what's right for the country."
Yep. Yeah. Which should say something to conservatives that their values, when they're put to the test of actually being implemented, don't feel the same as when you're just holding them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's one thing when it's a think tank event sponsored by the Heritage Foundation, and it's another thing when it is actual people's lives going and paychecks.
Yes. Yes.
And you're going to be responsible for it.
Yeah. Everybody talks the big game. Totally. Yeah. Totally. Again. Hey, you know who things aren't looking good for? And I'm saying this out loud now so we won't be tempted. That's old Ted Cruz, who apparently has communicated to people in his world he has increasingly desperate fundraising numbers and is concerned and nervous that he could lose his Senate seat in Texas.
If he could lose his Senate seat in Texas to a candidate for common good.
Yeah.
Colin Allred.
Our running back or linebacker? What was Colin?
He was a linebacker. Right? Yeah, it might have been a defensive back. Former professional football player. Back.
Yeah.
Spoke at a Vote Common Good event in 2018 in Dallas, Texas, and when he was not yet elected, first time candidate running for office. He's now a congressman. He was a candidate for Common Good in the last cycle, and all around great guy, Colin Allred.
And Colin Allred, if he really can put pressure on Ted Cruz to make Ted Cruz nervous that he's going to lose his seat, if Ted Cruz is vulnerable in Texas right now, after fending off a fairly aggressive attempt at his job in 2018 from then a former congressman in Texas, in Beto O'Rourke, if he can fend, if he's nervous now and he's really in jeopardy, game is over politically for Republicans. Like that is devastating if Ted Cruz doesn't have total command and control of being reelected in the state of Texas with what's going on. If there's a revolt among Republicans in Texas that won't stick with him and would go with someone like Colin Allred statewide.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like Texas does this every election, though.
That's what I said. I want to bring it up so we check our emotions.
They tease us.
too much time in Texas. And yeah.
Now listen, what I don't want us to do is to be so, you know, the boy who, you know, the state who cried wolf, you know, about Texas and be like, and dismiss it. And then this is the time that the wolf arrives. And, you know, and Colin Allred could have won if we had just, you know, supported him a bit more. But at the same time, I'm just like, really, Texas, we're doing this again? Really?
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know which it is.
The four horsemen of disappointment: Texas, Florida, Ohio, North Carolina.
Seriously.
I mean, how much time have we spent
in those states?
And then it's not even close.
Yeah.
They're so, yeah. Okay. But if Ted Cruz feels a little bit in trouble,
I like it.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If they're going to have to dump a bunch of, hey, we didn't even talk about Mitch McConnell stepping away, which happened, I think, about the time I left from this, from the Senate leadership, at least, let alone out of his seat. Did they settle on who they've rallied around in the Senate then for,
They have not.
Okay. So, well, if whoever's in charge of that, has to then spend a bunch of energy supporting and defending Cruz in Texas.
Yeah.
Then that really, look, Ted Cruz is a uniquely unlikable person and candidate. It's just true. You know, there's that old joke that I heard a long time ago about Ted Cruz, or joke is, why do people just instantly hate Ted Cruz? It just saves time. So, you know, you're going to get there at some point anyway, is sort of the joke.
Yeah.
But he is really unliked, even by people who vote for him. They just find, you know what I mean? Like, he's just, he's like the car you own because you still have a lease on it and you never did like it, but you signed the lease and it was going to last 4 years and you just stuck with it and you don't really like it. And if somebody else can drive, you say, please, right? That's the relationship a lot of voters in Texas have with Ted Cruz. But he keeps winning. And he did in 2018 handily. In a time when everything was going the other direction. So if he's in trouble now, great news. Great news.
For sure.
Hey, and if you care about what we do, we're going to be in Arizona in middle and end of April. Looking about common good for that. And then we're going to be bopping around a little bit. We're going to be in Missouri. We're going to be in Colorado. And then by May and June, July, August, we're going to spend a lot of time in the Midwest. So if you're in Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, come see us. We'd love to love to play along on those things. Got anything else, Rob?
I don't.
I like it when we keep our podcast short, 52, 53 minutes.
Ah, fantastic. We didn't have Dan here today to,
give the people a chance to go listen to something. Hey, I listened to a podcast the other day that I found really fascinating. It's this podcast called Stuff You Should Know. Are you familiar with this podcast?
Yes.
They have one on greed inflation. Greedflation is what it's called, around grocery store pricing and inflation in the grocery stores. And it is stunning of the food manufacturers, the profits that they have made since COVID, during COVID and since COVID, is what explains the inflation prices in grocery stores. Not supply chain, not costs, the third... Yep. There's three things that make that they put the big clumps, like how much is the product, how much is labor, and then how much is revenue that's being, profits rather, that are being extracted. So those are the three. And the first two, the materials and labor, are relatively steady or down, and the profits are up. That's where it's all coming from. And so that is intriguing to think, should there be some kind of restraints in our capitalism on some parts of our economic system? And would food delivery system be one of those? Just an interesting, and you know, my view, best to get there by best practices from corporations. But if you can't, is there an obligation that the food producers have to make sure that people can afford food?
Food. Interesting.
Yeah, but anyway, if you're into that kind of stuff, Alex, thinking of you on this here, by the way, I think Alex, if you don't listen to Stuff You Should Know, you will dig that one. It'll be a nice little, very popular level kind of deep dive. but we just don't want you to fall for those two guys and then start spending time with them and not time with, you know, your other two faves and the political stuff. Is Florida a lost cause, Doug, Rob?
Listen, I don't think
we should use that phrase when we're referring to Florida. Because technically, yes. For now, I will say, Alex, for now, I think it's,
it's
not its time.
Yeah, it's a tough one, but the things that are, the Republicans have made really profound unforced errors on the abortion issue. And with, from the whole IVF stuff to, you know, all the way back to overturning Roe, they have made severe missteps in what they have done in terms of the political calculus of it all. And if there's, with there being abortion on the ballot in Florida, we have seen that states that have abortion on the ballot, man, things can turn in a hurry. Mm-hmm. We saw it in Ohio. We saw it in Kansas. And you know, Florida might be one of those states. And so we'll, I think we'll see. It'll be very interesting to see on states where abortion is on the ballot, what that does to the rest of people's, the way they vote. It's going to be here in Arkansas. So it's going to be really interesting to see what effect that has.
You know how much I just love using sports analogies.
Yeah, I know.
Politics, or just for life. Mm-hmm. When there's a wild pitcher in baseball, it can be extremely costly if there's people on base. If you're throwing wild pitches past the catcher and there's nobody on base, that mitigates the damage.
Yeah.
The Republicans are throwing wild pitches. You are absolutely right. It's a disaster. The Democrats don't have anyone on base. They are, the Democratic superstructure in Florida is such a mess. They're not positioned to take advantage of what the Republicans are doing. That's why I think they're really in trouble. Just look at who they put up for governor to run against. Well, the last two times someone's run for governor, look at the people. One of them ended up indicted and then found not guilty on the technicalities. And another one of them was a former Republican, you know, Charlie Crist. Like, it's just wacky, right? What is going on? So that's part of the reason that I think Florida is in trouble, is that the overall system statewide that needs to be positioned to take it back has been just failing for two decades. And so it's my take.
Because
Ron DeSantis was never that good.
Right.
He just was better than the other team.
Yep.
That's why.
All right.
So if you live in Florida, don't give your money to the Florida Democratic Party for this cycle. It's about common good. we'll outsource it somewhere else. Anyway, that's my take. I'm wrong about many of the important things in life. So go ahead and tack that one up to that category. All right, Rob, talk to you later. Bye, Alex.
Okay.
Bye. It was quiet. It was quiet on the chat today, but high on the viewers. So thanks everybody for watching. We'll be back soon, probably. Okay, bye.